building was continually monitored by an automatic extreme telephoto camera that CNN had mounted on a hillside on Mount Vaia, overlooking the bay. It caught the building's collapse and zoomed in on the artifact rising leisurely back up to its original position. No one on Samoa knew that there was a hasty conference in Washington 5 minutes later, the president pulled out of a late-night poker game to help decide whether to vaporize their island. Somebody was disingenuous enough to point out that it really wouldn't be an act of war, since there were no hostilities between the two nations, and one of them would no longer exist after the explosion. The president's response to that was characteristically curt, and he went back to his game after demanding that a summary of events be on his table in the morning. It would be one short page. Poseidon wasn't talking, and the NASA team abided by their agreement. They ran the tape over and over, along with the sensor data, and on the 100th viewing they knew little more than on the first. As the laser cranked up to 72% of full force, the temperature of the artifact began to increase all over. When it was 1.2 degrees centigrade above the ambient temperature, it rose diagonally off its cradle at 18.3 centimeters per second, traveling at a 45-degree angle until it was over the laser's output tube. Then it fell to the floor. It was like dropping an apartment building on a wine glass. The floor didn't resist. The part under the cradle didn't collapse. It was independently supported. It probably would have crumbled if the artifact had fallen on it, too, but it seemed only interested in the laser. When it came back up, it settled into the cradle as gently as a feather. The researchers had to study the CNN record of that part, their ruggedized camera lying ruggedly on the bottom of the bay, its backup power source sending a record of swirling silt. Exactly 1.55 seconds after the splash, the artifact rose back out of the water, still at a constant rate of 18.3 centimeters per second, and settled back into its cradle. The scene was unchanged when Russ and Jan pedaled up a couple of minutes later. While a work crew nervously reconstructed the artifact room and its protective surround, a separate NASA crew, at least they wore identically new NASA coveralls, retrieved the downed laser and power source and analyzed the damage. It was profound. Jack Halliburton didn't normally walk into Cottage 7 unannounced. The crowd of nine who were sitting around the table piled high with reports and lunch remains fell silent when he came through the door. Russ was one of the most surprised. "Jack, you want a sandwich?" He shook his head and sat down on the chair offered. "Get me the output curve for the laser just before the artifact fell on it." Moisha Rossi, who had become their laser guy, picked up two cylindrical keyboards and started surfing, the big TV acting as a monitor. "It's a simple step function," Russ said. "Turns off." "I know. I want to know exactly when and why." "Good luck with the why." The innards of the power source were deeply classified. They used it as a black box that always delivered what you asked. "They told me a little something." A familiar graph appeared on the screen, the output of the laser slightly rising and then falling off abruptly. The abscissa of the graph was ticked off in microseconds. "Give me a split screen, and let's see what happens on the real-time tape a couple of microseconds before it turns off." The artifact was slowly rising, 2 millimeters per microsecond. The image rolled around slowly, the slow-motion record of violent dislocation, when the laser beam slid under the artifact and punched through the opposite wall. "Hold it. Stop it right there." The frame's time was 6 hours, 39 minutes, 23.705 seconds. The graph showed the power shutting off at 6 hours, 39 minutes, 23.810 seconds. "More than a tenth of a second. So?" Russ gestured at the screen. "What did they tell you?" They had assumed that either the laser had shut off automatically via some internal safety circuit, or the violence of the implosion had done the job. The feds weren't talking. Jack was silent, staring for a long moment. "What evidently happened," he said, "at 23.810 was that all the plutonium in that reactor turned to lead."
"Turned to lead?"
"Yeah. That's why it stopped working.